Good morning, everyone. He is risen. Hallelujah. So at this time, we will go ahead with our service and our invitation to worship. Yesterday, we thought death had won. Yesterday, we thought Christ was gone. Today, we know that love has won. Today, we know that Christ is here. We have a reason to sing. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Christ is risen today. Please join me in our opening prayer. God of new beginnings, on that first Easter morning, the disciples struggled to hear the good news. Doubt doubted their minds. Negativity took root and hope vanished with a single shake of their heads. As we return to this familiar text, help us to hear differently this morning. Open our ears that we might hear the sound of hallelujahs ringing through this text. Open up our minds that the mystery and joy of Easter might feel within reach. Open up our hearts that we might believe the unbelievable, and like Peter in his hearing, may we move closer to you. God of the empty tomb, we are hungry for your good news. Speak to us now. With hope in our hearts, we listen and we pray. Amen.
Okay, let's go to God in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, on this Easter day, we remember those facing challenges or hardships. May your love and grace be a comforting presence in their lives. Grant us the compassion and empathy to reach out to those in need, just as you reached out to us with the ultimate expression of love through Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for the love you have poured out on us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. May his resurrection be a source of inspiration and renewal for us all. Help us to grasp the depth of your love and the power of redemption. As a church family, we lift our hearts in gratitude for the blessings you have given us. We thank you for the gift of life, for the love of family and friends, and for the opportunity to gather together in your name, Lord. As we partake in the Easter festivities, may our hearts be filled with joy and our spirits be lifted. May the message of Easter inspire us to live with faith, hope, and love each day. Help us to reflect the light of Christ in our actions, our words, and interactions with others. We ask all this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Mighty God of resurrection and redemption, we offer our gifts alongside our hallelujahs. We offer our hands and feet and voices to take the celebration out of this place into a world that needs hope so desperately. May we go into the world with such energy, excitement, and power that the ground shakes once again, that lightning flashes, and that people see in us your redeeming love and the triumph of light over darkness. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. Very early in the morning on the first day of the week, The women went to the tomb, bringing the fragrant spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't know what to make of this. Suddenly, two men were standing beside them in gleaming bright clothing. The women were frightened and bowed their faces toward the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He isn't here, but has been raised. Remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words. When they returned from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Their words struck the apostles as nonsense, and they didn't believe the women. But Peter ran to the tomb. When he bent over to look inside, he saw only the linen cloth and then returned home, wondering what had happened. Happy Easter. Welcome to our Easter service, whether you are attending here in person or if you are online today. I pray that you are not only experiencing the joy and hope of the risen Christ, but that you are rejoicing this morning as we join with Christians from all over the world, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and singing, "Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah." I think that's pretty cool. We join with people all over the world worshiping the risen Christ. And so we come together to bask in the glorious message of the promise and the hope of the empty tomb. And then today marks our final message in the series, Wandering Heart, Figuring Out Faith with Peter. And in today's text, it seems everyone has a lot of figuring out to do. The women at the tomb have some figuring out to do. The disciples have some figuring out to do. Peter has some figuring out to do. We have some figuring out to do. Because the commonality that we all share with everyone mentioned in today's text is that unspoken question, could it be? Is it true? Luke tells us the women didn't know what to make of it. If we're honest, many of us come today with that same question. What do we make of this? Could it be true? Is it true? As if we can scientifically prove via facts and evidence that, yep, it's true. When the only truth that we can really know is what is written, that he isn't here, but that he has been raised. And the truth of the many who testify that they saw the resurrected Lord. You know, it's kind of like my oldest daughter who tended to think only in terms of black and white. Well, to be honest, she's 36 and she still kind of only thinks in black and white. But we were sitting in a youth group one time and she asked, "And how exactly was he raised? It's not like Jesus is a loaf of bread." Point taken. And yet the honest answer is, and I love the youth pastor's answer, "I don't know what happened that first Easter day, and I don't know how it happened." And the truth is, neither do I, and neither do you. There's not a theologian out there that can honestly give us the details. Personally, while I believe Jesus is raised from the dead, that it's no silly tale, I'm not at all convinced of how it happened because I don't know. And not only that, I don't know that it's even really the important question. The truth is, our hope is in details not yet revealed to us. Like the women at the tomb, we have to be willing to remember what he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the human one must be handed over to sinners, crucified, and on the third day rise again. That's all the information the women have. That's all the information the disciples and Peter have, and that's all we get, and that's all anyone gets. It's a mystery. And not all mysteries are intended to be solved. Nevertheless, the women's witness, it might not be much to go on, especially if your person has to have proof and all the facts, and there are other people that witness the risen Lord thereafter, and still, that's not much to go on if you got to have the facts for yourself. In a nutshell, though, that is the Easter story. That is it. Those words that tell us he isn't here, but he has been raised. There's not much we can add or take away from that story. It's what it is. I have no proof. You have no proof. I wasn't there. You weren't there. And I certainly can't make you believe it. Because I can't figure it out. On Friday, Jesus is killed, crucified, his body's enclosed in a tomb. And on Sunday, the tomb stands empty and the body is gone. What we do know is what the women arrive at the tomb. There's two men in dazzling clothes that ask the best coaching question ever. Why do you look for the living among the dead? They know the women can't answer that question. All they can do is embrace what Jesus has told them would happen or not, stare into the empty tomb, look around, and confirm there's no body there. That's all the disciples can do. That's all we can do. Embrace that mystery or not. The way I read the text, while these women may not know what to make of it, they choose to embrace the mystery of the risen Christ. So they go and they share the good news with the disciples. The disciples, on the other hand, well, not so much. They're a bit more skeptical than these women who've seen the empty tomb and know for a fact that, well, you know what? Jesus isn't in there. Their response is likened to saying it's all an idle tale. The stuff that fairy tales are made of. Their words strike the apostles as nonsense. And so they don't believe the women. It appears to me they may as well have said, dismissed. These words that they respond with are words of total disbelief. Now, most translations say the disciples' reaction to this news is for them to say that it's all foolish. It's all foolish talk and nonsense. And however, the real Greek meaning of the word translates as garbage. It's garbage. I like how Dr. Lewis puts it when she says, the women announced Jesus' promises fulfilled, and the response from the ones who are closest to Jesus is, yeah, well, that's a bunch of rubbish. Despite Jesus telling the disciples more than once he'd rise again, their response to these women is what you have to say is all garbage. It's trash talk. Well done, guys. Well done. On the other hand, their reaction is about as honest as it sometimes gets. Maybe it's a post-traumatic stress result that makes them react this way. They've seen and been through a lot these last days. Perhaps they're overcome with grief, and we all know that denial is a part of the grieving process. However, before we decide, I guess, to be too hard on these guys, I might suggest there are a lot of people who believe in Jesus, who believe in the hope of the gospel, but believe the Easter story and the whole resurrection thing, as they put it, is but an idle tale. Peter, on the other hand, he's not quite as dismissive of the women's report. We aren't sure if he believes the women entirely or not, but something gave him pause enough to get up and go see for himself, and he doesn't simply say, dismissed. It's all rubbish. It's all garbage. maybe he remembers Jesus' words, and maybe he doesn't. The least we can say is that Peter is curious enough to go check out these women's story. Now, what I love about this text is that Peter doesn't move cautiously. He's not very tentative about it. He's not out for this leisurely kind of ho-hum stroll, I'll get there. He runs to the tomb. He's running. I have this vision of people running to the tomb. I wonder, are you running to the tomb? Or are you just kind of cautiously stepping slowly, not quite ready to hear that truth? You see, some texts say that Peter is amazed. Now, we don't know why he runs. Maybe he runs because he hopes and believes what Jesus tells him is true. Maybe he's running hoping that Jesus will be there and he can say, you know what, Jesus? I was one of your best and closest friends. One of your very best friends. And I'm sorry for the wrongs I committed against you. I should have been there in your hour of need, and I'm so sorry. Maybe that's why he runs. I think he runs in hope. I think he runs in expectation. Regardless of why Peter runs, he is left at the end of the day wandering and amazed. So if you're here today and wondering what happened that day, that's okay. You're in good company, because there isn't anyone in today's text that doesn't wonder. And the beauty of wonder is the possibility of hope. Regardless of why Peter's running, he is left wondering and amazed. Are you wondering and amazed this morning? Having said that, if we dig a little deeper into Peter, because Peter, I think, shows us a little bit different and a deeper kind of faith. Peter shows us this both-and faith, and that kind of faith that persists even after all the mountaintops experiences that Peter's had with Jesus and his deepest sorrows. You know, when you think of Peter's history with Jesus, one might have expected that after cutting off some dude's ear and denying Jesus in the courtyard, not once but three times, and then being absent when Jesus died, that Peter would have stayed put, cowered in shame, not bothered to show up, and instead of running toward the tomb, maybe run away from it, hoping to escape all the pain and all the shame of it all. You'd think Peter would hide, run away from Jesus as far as he could possibly get. Because like Peter, you know, you and I sometimes do things in this life that bring us shame. And all too often, I think we believe it's too late to run toward hope and the grace that Jesus offers us from the open tomb. I think all too often, we think it's too late, or that empty tomb is for somebody else's sins, not mine. I can't run toward the hope and grace of Jesus. And Peter tells us, no matter what we do, guess what? We get to run. If that's the case, if we think that we are far removed from grace, if that's what we think, then Peter's actions tells us it's never too late to run to the empty tomb and toward the resurrection. It's never too late for a resurrection in our own lives. It's never too late to run toward grace and forgiveness of sins that Jesus offers. It's never too late for our lives to be changed. I know so many people who think it's too late. My life can't be changed. Yeah, Jesus might have helped them, or maybe helped you, or maybe helped somebody else, but it's too late for me. Peter tells us it's not too late. It's not too late. And I don't know, maybe like us, Peter didn't fully understand the resurrection. Maybe he didn't know how it happened. But I think he knew enough to understand, no matter how or what happened, that Jesus died and rose for his sin, and that there was grace that awaited him. Questions he may have. But his questions didn't keep him from running to the tomb or dismissing the women's words as garbage or dash his hope that Jesus is alive, that Jesus' words might be true. Peter runs to that empty tomb with no more answers than you and I have. So maybe this story isn't so much about whether we believe it or not, in as much as it is that you and I can always run with hope toward the empty tomb of grace and forgiveness and be amazed at what Christ has done for us. Perhaps this story is less about believing what happened that day and trying to explain it or understand it, and more about experiencing what that day means for you and me. Of course, many of us, we run to the tomb because we believe in the eternal life Jesus offers us in raising us from the dead. And that is a huge part of the Easter message, and it brings hope and comfort that when our loved ones pass or we pass on, there is more that awaits us, and that is so important. But Peter tells us that's not all there is to the resurrection message. That the message is not just for the dead, but it's for the living. Peter shows us that perhaps Easter is equally about our ability in the midst of all of life's circumstances, the mountaintop moments and the sorrows of this world, to run towards hope and not away from it. You can run towards hope today. The truth is, the Easter message is a message of promise, hope, and possibility, not just in death, but in everyday life. The Easter message says a future is possible for anyone. For anyone. It announces that our lives, that you and I, are more than what has happened to us, or what we've done, or what we've left undone, or what's happened in our lives, that Peter's story, the Easter story, is our story. We just have to claim the story. I think that's why Peter went home wondering and amazed at what happened. I don't think Peter was just in awe at what had happened to and that Jesus wasn't in the tomb. I think there was more to it than that. I think Peter was amazed and stood in wonder and awe at what had happened to him, because the empty tomb changed him. I think something changed within Peter, and that Peter experienced something within himself that said, this is my story, this is my song. I'm not just the total of my mistakes. And because of the empty tomb, I have hope that things in this life can be different. My life has changed and can be changed. Peter experienced more than an Easter or an empty tomb that Easter morning. Peter experienced a life change within himself and felt something new come alive within himself. And I think he went home a changed man. As one person said, Peter was not only a witness to the resurrection, he was resurrected. Easter then promises us a future that in this life, the power of the risen Christ can change us, not only in death, but right here, now. And that's why, for me, the story isn't just an idle tale, rubbish, or garbage. It's true. Because it's changed me. It's changed people I love. I've seen it change others. And it becomes the truth of our lives, not because we can prove and understand or explain it, but because we have seen and experienced the risen Christ in our lives, and like Peter, It changed us. I'd like to invite you to join us in communion this morning. Our communion table is open to all people. It doesn't matter what faith tradition you are from. If you are from a faith tradition at all, you are welcome and you are invited to the table of Christ. All we ask is that you go to Christ and ask for the forgiveness of your sins. I am going to ask you to join in with the words that you will see on the screen. I think they're written for you as unison. And, oh, you have them in your hand, okay. So anyway, if you will just follow along with that, I would appreciate that. I, however, today am not going to serve. I'm going to have some other people serve. I've been sick again this week, and so some other folks are going to serve you this morning. And then we'll have our closing hymn. I will give the benediction directly after communion. I have another service, so sometimes I need to go ahead and get on out of here. And so I want to thank you all for being here today. And as we go to communion again, please feel free to join us. When the women got to the tomb on that Easter morning, they were met by angels who told them, "He is not here, but remember what he told you." I can't help but wonder there in that garden as the sun rose over the trees if they remembered it all. I wonder if they remembered Jesus telling 5,000 people to sit together in the grass, passing out baskets of fish and bread. I wonder if they remember how he stooped in the middle of the crowd to ask, "Who touched my robe?" I wonder if they remember how he ate with Zacchaeus or scooped up the children onto his knee. I wonder if they remembered him teaching in the temple, telling people, "Love your neighbor as yourself." I wonder if they remembered how the wind stopped in the sound of his voice. I wonder if they remember how he washed their feet and said, "This is my body broken for you." I wonder if they remember it at all. Friends, just like the women in the garden, we need those same reminders that the suffering of the world can erode the muscle memory of grace and welcome that we hold. Don't let it. Come to the table and remember. Remember how Jesus fed everyone. Remember how none were turned away. Remember how he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." Come and remember there is room for you here. Would you pray with me, please? God of today and tomorrow, God of the garden and the tomb, God of our faith and of our doubt, we are running toward you. Like Peter on Easter morning, we simply cannot stay away. So with beating hearts and wide eyes, we have arrived in this sanctuary, bringing with us questions, hopes, joys, and concerns. Hear these prayers as we draw closer to you. God of the dawn, we start with our hopes. Join me, please. Thank you for the gifts of this world that instill buoyancy in us. Thank you for the curiosity of children, for the sound of your people singing in unison, for crowded tables and neighborly kindness. For the sun after the rain, for the spring after the frost, love after loss, and faith after doubt. Like Peter, we have countless reasons to hold on to hope. Highest among them is the joy and promise of this day. Thank you for these holy breadcrumbs on the journey of faith. However, before we found ourselves in the garden, before the joy and the alleluias of this day, we found ourselves at the foot of the cross. So for the things that erode our hope, for the things that stitch doubt and fear into our hearts, we ask for your comforting hand. Wrap us in your arms around who are all still locked in that upper room. Wrap your arms around all who can find healing after their longest night. Wrap your arms around all who look for reasons to hope but cannot find those breadcrumbs amidst the reasons to grieve. Holy God, like Peter, fan the flames of our faith. Like Peter, invite us to step out of our boats. And like Peter, use us to care for those in need, to tell your story, and to build a better world. We remember and we believe. So with awestruck, wildly beating, grateful hearts, we run toward you. With feet in the garden and eyes on the cross, we remember on the night in which he gave up himself for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke that bread, gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to the disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim that mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Lord, we pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, Lord, we pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.